The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every take of this in, we appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Aaron Schott still to come this hour. We might have messed up the times. He's still coming up. In like 10 minutes. Something like that.
Just build the suspense a little bit.
And Kelly's got some Sony Open preview thoughts on golf. Since I did tennis, he's like, I got to get my golf in.
Country clubbing, buddy.
Those are the rules. This is a country club show today.
That's right.
We get tweets.
We got that open, man. I got to get Rob to pull that back in. Did you ever see the country clubbing open I had made for us?
No, sir.
Because of our tennis and golf love, I thought it would be funny to have like old white people in a club and call it country clubbing.
We get tweets at Beatty the Book. By the way, Jason Weingarten standing by. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. This is from Rules for Society. Remember when MJ won the ESPY for Comeback Player of the Year and Bill Murray had to set everyone straight? This girl was in the hospital, man. Oh, that refers to Monica Seles getting stabbed and MJ won Comeback Player of the Year over her.
Yeah. Another shout out to Rob for doing the research.
Thank you, Rob Moreno.
To figure out the tweet.
Dissecting that one for us. Brian Morianen, how do we get Kelly off track today? We've used Comeback Player of the Year, Alanis Morissette, Power Rangers. What are his thoughts on Sub-Zero being ranked over Scorpion in Mortal Kombat? It's true. And then he also adds, I feel like Ramadan was not the best phrase choice following That's Tats with an A. It's a good point. Very good point. Nash, last name Nash. Mad respect to Jim Root and any other guest who still include rotation number. Yes, specifically when it comes to college basketball, because there's a billion games. So thank you, Jim Root, for using the rotation numbers. Roger Jones at Brocco Wins. Throw another shrimp on the Barbie. Australian Open coming up. Does that mean we can finally hear K. Michael Bidlin uncork his Aussie accent? The answer to that is nar. Absolutely not.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Nemesis Enforcer. Players to watch on the men's side, Nishesh Basavareddy and Lerner Tien. Both should make the main draw. Lerner Tien, I bet on when the Challenger Tour came to Vegas. I went to the Challenger Tour.
I remember that.
And made a nice little profit betting it live before the sports books could react to it.
This dude's already playing? Didn't you and Matt go to that like 3 months ago?
Matt came also. Yes. Matt showed up as well.
Wow.
Yep.
I was going to ask you about, Carlos not a little long to you at plus 350?
Say again?
Alcaraz not a little long to you at plus 350?
A little bit, maybe. A little bit.
Ben Shelton, no chance? He's not getting any better on these hard courts?
Drew loves Ben Shelton here.
Ooh, okay.
Drew loves Ben Shelton.
100 to 1.
Ben Shelton, who lost to our guy, Jakub Mensik, who we made a fortune on last night. And Jamie Leva, emphasizing tats to Kelly reminds me of the bulging disc segment on the Four Letter Network. Have a fantastic day, gentlemen. It's not often we get serious with stuff here on the show, but this gentleman lives in the Valley, I believe. He will correct me if I'm wrong on that. And obviously, our heart goes out to everybody who lives in the Palisades on the coast of on the sort of the Pacific Coast Highway there. Pacific Palisades were... Everybody had to evacuate yesterday because of the fires. Jason Weingarten, literally, we always introduce him by saying under a cloud of smoke. That's not the smoke I meant. Today, it's literal. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Jason? You're okay, right?
Pretty good. I'm in Glendale. I'm a ways away from the fire. It's a little too close to comfort, but I think we're going to be all right. Like, if it gets to me, there's going to be some real problems.
If it gets to you, everybody's in trouble.
Yeah.
Weren't you at one point, though, weren't you like, I don't know if I'm going to have to evacuate? Wasn't there a touch and go moment there?
No, I mean, not so much like, are we going to have to evacuate? It's just I got up early this morning at like 5. You could smell the smoke coming through, the windows at this point. And so we had to get the air filters going and just make sure we know where the fire is. And you never want to see another one pop up. I mean, these things move fast.
So quick.
Yeah, and there's a lot of brush all on the hills everywhere, so it's a problem. It's gonna be a problem for a couple of days, probably for a while longer than that.
Into our piddly human brains, it like you have the Pacific Ocean on one side, so we can't really fathom how it happens, but yet it does.
It's wild,
especially in a spot like that.
It's actually a fun fact. People are like, "How does this happen?" Malibu's the wildfire capital of North America and probably the world. These fires, over 1,000-acre fires, happen on average every 2.5 years in Malibu and in the hills. So everyone's like, how does this thing that happens every 2.5 years keep happening? It's been happening since the dawn of recorded history. Even the Indians were, you know, writing about this, or the first accounts of the Spaniards were talking about the Indians burning the chaparral in the hills. So this isn't a new thing, but it's a dangerous thing.
Yeah, it happens in Northern California too. There are days where you wake up in San Francisco, you look up and you're like, the sky does not appear right, and then you find out why. It's your heart goes out to those folks, because people, like, the stories are just awful, and you know, what possessions can you grab before you leave your house, that kind of thing. Okay, well, glad you're okay. Where do we stand now for you right now on, first of all, you were betting basketball yesterday. Let's start with that. We don't know you as an NBA bettor. What are you betting in the NBA?
You know, I actually think it was funny last night. I think I had probably my worst day of the new year, for sure. Worst day of in recent memory. I think I lost every bet I made on basketball, both NBA and college yesterday, up until the last bet I made that won and kind of almost evened everything out for the day. But yeah, I follow, you know, a little bit of NBA. I've been recently following the Heat on their West Coast trip. They have this big West Coast trip. They got blown out Sacramento, and they were playing Warriors last night. I thought it would be a good spot for the Warriors, and Heat basically went wire to wire against them, and they waved the red flag in the fourth quarter, the Warriors did. So I pay attention to some stuff like that, some travel stuff, but honestly, there's an old chart I made that's been on Twitter of the quality of life versus how much you bet on the NBA, and the last few days have been a reminder that the more attention I pay to the NBA, the more my quality of life goes down significantly.
Inversely proportional.
Yeah, it's fair. I have pretty low quality of life. Yeah.
I don't know how y'all do it with the NBA nightly. Okay, so let's talk about, are you betting either of the college football semifinals games?
Yeah, I bet a little bit on Notre Dame. Didn't bet on the other one, but I do think after seeing Ohio State in person, that they're probably going to be the national championship. I was super impressed with Jeremiah Smith. I'd probably draft him right now if I could. But I'm more focused on Notre Dame, and I'm more focused on the NFL this weekend. I know we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but the Eagles, I'm very interested on this Eagles game, and I'm waiting all day on this news because it's now Wednesday morning on the East Coast. It's past 11 o'clock, and Jalen Hurts still has not been cleared from the concussion protocol. Dude. It's Wednesday afternoon, and I just want to point out that yesterday when I was, you know, reading the quotes from Sirianni's last press conference, he wouldn't say who the starting quarterback would be if Hurts wasn't 100%, or if Hurts isn't going to start. And if Hurts was going to start, then you wouldn't really keep quiet about who the backup is. You wouldn't care. So I'm just kind of reading between the lines here. And I assume, you know, there's a possibility that he's cleared at some point later today and we see a tweet, you know, Jalen Hurts is a full go. But just sort of a matter of fact that athletes don't perform well after concussions, and Hurts has been out over 2 weeks with a concussion. So whatever the hit he did take was enough to keep him out of a football game for 2 weeks. And now you're expecting him to come back, be 100% for a playoff game. I'm on Green Bay. I don't think it's reasonable at this point to expect Jalen Hurts to be, you know, at top physical level after a concussion. You know, and again, that could all change today, but as of now, I'm not buying it.
Well, I brought it up on Monday. I'm glad you bring it up again, because on Monday on Guessing Lines, what I did say is, you know, we're not being thorough if we're not sort of just bringing up the fact that he hasn't been cleared yet, right? And so everybody sort of believes it's fait accompli that he will play, and I hope for his sake that he's able to. And then we had Stefania Bell in our timeline saying, well, he gets multiple chances to you know, advance through the protocol. She didn't seem worried. The Eagles' Twitter had an image about, oh, the playoffs begin, and they had Jalen Hurts front and center on that too. So no one appears to be worried, but I just have to say it is a concussion. And so we don't know. In the same way that other injuries have timelines, you just don't know about concussions. And to your point, and then if he does play, what does that really mean? And so we shouldn't gloss over that. And I think it's a good point that you bring it up.
A couple things just to add on quick. I mean, it's basically he's got to practice today. So you're right, Jason. Like, today's the big day. If he doesn't show up at practice, then there's major concern. I think one of the reasons we saw yesterday or late yesterday is them releasing Ian Book, who they had signed to be kind of the emergency quarterback. Mm-hmm. So that's usually kind of a signal that a guy's going to get back. But like you guys are talking about, if he doesn't show up at practice.
At what point was Ian Book ever going to enter a playoff game that it's going to matter? Like, if Ian Book's entering this game, then it's over. You know, it doesn't matter if he's on the roster or not.
Well, let me ask you this. If Hurts couldn't go, just hypothetically, let's just play along with this. Would you rather, if you're an Eagles backer, would you rather have Tanner McKee in there or Kenny Pickett at this point? I'm not sure that's
probably
a question.
Probably McKee.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a clear answer.
Either. It's, you know, it's a bad spot to be in if you're going to happen. But it's one of the things, it's very hard. You know, we can't really ever put ourselves in the position of a professional athlete because we're not professional athletes and can't really, you know, put like contextualize what they go through. But if you've ever had a concussion and you know what recovering from a concussion is like, then you just kind of say like, well, this guy hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. Like, you know, does he even remember where he parked his car? Okay. Like, let's see how healthy he's going to be by Sunday. I don't know. I can speak to experience from hitting my head. I can't speak to experience from being a professional athlete, but,
Jason's still recovering. He's still recovering now.
No, seriously, it takes a while to recover from that stuff. It's not fun. I can't imagine what professional athletes go through to try to play through a concussion. It's one of those things I think about, but
you can't.
I'm not sold on the Eagles this weekend.
Can't mess with the brain, man. That's the one thing. It's a medical category unto itself. Jason, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Good luck with all the bets.
Thank you. I'll see you guys later this week.
Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia. Glad he's out of harm's way as well. There in Southern California. Aaron Schatz on the other side, the creator of DVOA at FTN Sports. He's next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Big news this week here at VSiN, in case you missed it, we are returning to SiriusXM. Let's go.
Yeah.
Starting January 17th, that is a week from this Friday, VSiN's 24/7 programming will be available on SiriusXM channel 158 and the SiriusXM app. And in addition to the new channel, VSiN will produce a new show for SiriusXM called VSiN Live on Mad Dog Sports Radio, hosted by Patrick Maher and Dustin Sweetelson every weeknight from 7 to 10 Eastern. That has already begun. And that is on Sirius Channel 82. Don't forget, coming January 17th, VSiN Channel 158 on Sirius XM. Our long-awaited return to Sirius XM. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman is kind enough to appear on this program quarterly during the NFL season and make a Megapod appearance as well annually. He is the creator of DVOA, and for those, again, who don't know what that is, it breaks down every single play and compares a team's performance to the league average based on situation in order to determine value over average. He founded Football Outsiders. He now works at FTN Sports. It is the great Aaron Schatz, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Aaron, good morning, sir.
Good morning, and it is good to be with you again.
Always a pleasure to see you. Let us begin. We'll get to the awards in the second segment, but let's talk about year-long DVOA. We do this routine every year because I'm always interested in the historical anomalies. First of all, let's just say who ended up 1 through 5 DVOA. Let's start there.
Number 1, Baltimore. Number 2, Detroit. Number 3, Green Bay. Number 4, Buffalo. And number 5, Philadelphia. Although, again, this includes Week 18, even for teams that sat starters. So part of the reason why Green Bay ends up 3rd is that Buffalo sat their starters in Week 18. And you have to kind of know that.
And I would imagine that's part of the reason why the Broncos end up 6th, too.
Oh,
right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. That's probably a big lead.
Oh, yeah.
And did I not read the Broncos Week 18 game against the Chiefs ends up being one of the greatest DVOA games of all time?
It is 3rd because of the opponent adjustments for playing the Chiefs, which are not, they didn't really play the Chiefs. So it's always going to be there now on this list of greatest games. This game that's a total asterisk, weird BS nonsense. They destroyed the Chiefs. It was the best game, even without opponent adjustments, it was the best game any team has played this year.
Wow. And as you can see by percentages of DVOA there, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are not sort of evenly spaced. It looks like it's Ravens, Lions, and then the drop off to the rest kind of thing.
Yeah. And like, again, if you take out week 18, the Chiefs would really be like 6th.
Gotcha.
And the Broncos would be more like 10th or 11th.
Makes sense.
So you do have to consider that in your head. The article that I write on FTN Fantasy, I ran a list of weighted DVOA, which is DVOA that gives more weight to recent games, with Week 18 removed. And that gives you a better idea of how good these teams are going into the playoffs.
All right, check that out at FTN Fantasy. By the way, where can everybody get your stuff, Aaron? We should probably start with that.
FTNFantasy.com, where our stats hub is free with tons of information through Wildcard Weekend, and people should check that out. And I'm on Twitter at AshotsNFL and on Blue Sky at ashots.social.bsky or however Blue Sky addresses are done. A-S-C-H-A-T-Z.
They made the move to Blue Sky. Shots, by the way, S-C-H-A-T-Z for those scoring at home. All right, last year, both the 2023 Ravens and the 2023 Niners were among your two, were among your top 10 teams of all time. You go back all the way to 1979. How about this year's Ravens?
They are again up there. They are the seventh best team in DVOA of all time. And I know it sounds crazy. And some of that is it is the penalties, right? Because I don't consider all penalties. And they had a lot of penalties this year. But it's not like that's something that ties the Ravens teams together. Last year's Ravens did not have a high number of penalties. So trying to figure out why my system likes the Ravens so much, it's pretty easy. They have big dominating wins over other good teams. They beat Buffalo by something like 35-10. They beat Houston by 31-2. They clobbered Pittsburgh. Last year, they whipped Detroit. Last year, they whipped San Francisco. This team, they play these weird close games against bad opponents, and then they go against good opponents and they destroy them. And destroying other good teams is usually the best indicator of a championship team.
And that was the case with them last year, too. They just destroyed all the good teams they played. So they're number seven in DVOA history. And just for those scoring at home again, 2007 Patriots, the one that went undefeated but lost to the Giants then in the Super Bowl, the 1991 Washington Redskins, who gave up a grand total of seven sacks all season long on their way to a Super Bowl victory, and the 85 Bears, the famous 85 Bears, those are one, two, and three. So that's the kind of company the Ravens of this year end up seventh, with those three being the top three. Was it the, and I assume that means that the Ravens offense was historical as well.
The Ravens offense was, something like the fourth best all time. And that includes a 1982 San Diego team that only played nine games. So over full seasons, they're only behind the Patriots of 2010 and 2007 in offense. Their offense was phenomenal. They were third all time in yards per play behind just the Rams of 2000 and the Rams of 1954.
Now, before Lions fans' heads explode, because they finished two, they did something historically awesome this year as well, per your metric.
Yes, the Lions are only the seventh team since 1978 to rank in the top five of all three phases of the game. They were third on offense, fifth on defense, and first on special teams. And of the other six teams that did this, four of them won the Super Bowl, but the two that didn't were recent, the 2022 Bills and the 2023 Ravens.
91 Skins had to have been in that category, top five in all three.
I think they are. I think it's the 85 Bears, the 91 Skins, the 96 Packers, and the 97 Broncos.
Okay, so I'll try to anticipate what a listener would wonder about at this moment. So all this is great. What is the correlation between teams finishing first in DVOA in the regular season and ending up as the Super Bowl winner?
Shockingly, not high. The last number one team to win the whole thing was Seattle in 2013.
Wow.
We have a long history over the last decade of teams ranked 3 through 5 winning the whole thing, as opposed to from 1988 to 1999, when the Super Bowl champion was first or second in DVOA every year. It's a little weird.
Oh, wow.
Because the whole point of this, and by the way, if you look at other advanced metrics, you get the same result. The fact is that we've gone through a long stretch now of very good teams winning it all, but the best team not necessarily winning it all in most years.
Is that because of the advent of the salary cap, would you say?
I don't know. It's interesting because The top teams in DVOA won the Super Bowl much more often pre-salary cap, but they had lower ratings. So there was actually like more parity during the regular season, during the salary cap era, and then less parity during playoffs.
Interesting.
And then it didn't, when the salary cap came in like 94, the success of the top teams in DVOA did not go away for a few years. For 96, 97, 98, DVOA still does a really good job of predicting who's going to win the Super Bowl. But for the last few years, it's mostly been a team that ranks somewhere from 3 to 5. It's interesting. Obviously, like, my goal is to have this be as predictive as possible. I want the number one team to be the team that's going to win it all. But it's remarkable how often that it's not like it's a bad team. Like from 2007 to 2012, you had teams like the 2007 Giants and the 2012 Ravens that were like 12th. So it's always like a top five team, but not the number one team.
And that leads me to the Chiefs, which of course overcame, you know, the two top teners, the Niners and the Ravens last year in DVOA. The Chiefs, you know, I give out this stat, and I'm not the only one. There are only three teams in the league this year that didn't score more than 30 points in a game. The Chiefs were one of them, right? I think the Patriots and the Raiders off the top of my head were the other two. So they're, and if you go to Pythagorean theorem, the old Bill James baseball thing where runs scored, runs prevented, this is what your record ought to be. They're the biggest underachiever of all time in that, aren't they?
Overachiever, biggest overachiever of overachiever, all time. Pardon me, yes. Vikings from 2 years ago, yeah.
Biggest overachiever. And so DVOA-wise, are they also the biggest overachiever or one of them?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like there are 15 and two teams that are eighth very often.
I was going to say. Okay, and then the biggest underachievers, were there big underachievers this year?
San Francisco and Arizona were above average teams by DVOA with losing records. And if I was going to look at teams that would take a leap next year, I would look at Arizona and San Francisco.
Arizona and San Francisco. San Francisco makes sense because of injuries, I guess. But they do have salary cap issues to deal with as well. Okay. And then biggest movers up, Denver, Minnesota, Washington, Arizona. Biggest movers down, San Francisco, Miami, Dallas, Jacksonville, Cleveland. And one note about Cleveland that you put out, if you remove the game started by Jameis Winston, the Browns would have had the worst rated offense in DVOA history. I love that.
Yeah, Watson and Dorian Thompson-Robinson for
that's how good Jameis is.
We'll come back. Aaron's Super Wild Card thoughts, and of course, his awards thoughts. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready to try something different? Sign up to start playing the ponies on First Bet. First Bet is U.S.-based and offers wagering on hundreds of races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and Aaron Schatz. At A Shots NFL, the creator of DVOA and one of the 50 AP voters for awards in the National Football League, kind enough to join us for a second segment, his annual post-regular season pre-playoffs appearance from his spot there in Worcester, Mass. Always appreciate it, Aaron. Last things before we get to some awards thoughts regarding DVOA. Well, first of all, let's go to your predictions from before the season. How many of the 14 playoff teams did you get right?
Oh, I can't. I haven't checked yet. Have an exact number. I will say my preseason predictions this year were not as good as they usually are. Right. A couple of the teams that I was very high on, I thought the Patriots defense would still be very good. It was obviously collapsed. I thought the Saints were going to win that division by being average. Then they got completely destroyed by injuries. Yeah. So that was the Saints. I was right about Atlanta missing the playoffs. I was right about Chicago not being as good as people expected, but that was because I said one of the rookie quarterbacks is going to be awesome, and we don't know which one. And it turned out it was not Caleb Williams.
That's right. Through two or three weeks, you looked kind of genius with New England and New Orleans, and then things happened.
Yeah, especially New Orleans. But yeah.
Okay, Super Wild Card weekend. Is there a spread based on your numbers that you're like, oh, that doesn't look right?
A little bit less based on my numbers, a little bit more feel, but somewhat based. I mean, based on my numbers, the spread is off, but it's not the one that's most off. I like the Commanders against the Buccaneers.
That's good.
I have the Buccaneers lower than the Commanders in DVOA. The Buccaneers definitely had trouble against the Saints in the final week of the season. I like the idea of Commanders plus three, or if you can get it somewhere, Commanders plus 3.5. My numbers really like Ravens minus 9.5, but it just feels like the Steelers and Ravens play them play closer than that a lot of the time. So I think I'd be reticent to do that one.
Okay, let's talk awards now, with the understanding that you are under the directive of you can't say what you're voting for. We get that. We don't want you to lose your ballot in coming years. So we understand that. I just want to ask in generalities. One, let's start with the most controversial, which is Comeback Player of the Year. My dear friend Kelly Bidlin over here is very angry because you were the first one. You came on the show before the Super Bowl. I don't know if you remember this, when we were with DraftKings. Yes. We were there and you said, hey, look, they're going to change the language on this. And they did. And now we're learning that the AP is still accepting ballots that don't adhere, that don't comply with that language. How do you feel about that?
I don't want to be the Pied Piper of the Comeback Player of the Year award, which I feel like I've sort of developed this reputation as. What I will say is they gave us guidelines of how to vote for this award, and I'm going to follow those guidelines.
That's
and
your
I
boy.
Would expect the other 49 voters to follow these guidelines. And the other thing I will say is they would have made it easier on us if they had introduced an improved player, most improved player award, the same year they made these changes.
Do you think?
In other words, if instead of changing the guidelines, what they had done is essentially split the award in two,
right?
It would be easier for, we wouldn't have this much controversy.
Aaron, do you believe that change is coming?
Yes.
You do?
I've talked about it with a couple of guys from the AP, and there's definitely some thought about the idea of doing a most improved player year of the year award, similar to the NBA.
Would you prefer to add that yourself, Aaron, or just get rid of this one? Because I'm kind of split. You either got to add or just get rid of Comeback.
I mean, this is an award that's been around for years and years and years. You want to still have it. Otherwise, what would Chad Pennington ever win?
And Lord knows we want Chad Pennington to win something in life.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Interpretation. Aaron will not be voting for Sam Darnold. That's my interpretation. He doesn't have to say anything, but that's what it sounds like. He's going to adhere to the guidelines. Okay.
And others should, too.
And others, and he says, and he hopes that the others do. Say again, Aaron. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying that they should. I'm saying I expect them that they will.
Okay. All right. He expects them. He'll be disappointed if they don't, kind of thing.
So
just putting words in his mouth. Okay. Let's start with the easiest one, then, after that, which is Offensive Rookie of the Year. We're pretty confident we know who's winning that, right?
I don't think it's as easy as you think it is.
Oh, I said that the other day. I said it's probably not as easy as I thought it is.
So, no, I mean, I think there's two main candidates, and it ain't Bo Nix.
Brock
it's
Bowers.
Brock Bowers. Yeah.
Interesting.
And I won't tell you who I voted for, but I think that the main two candidates are Jaden Daniels and Brock Bowers.
Okay. Wow.
I can't wait to see where that finishes. I mean, there's five amazing rookie years out there.
There's more than five amazing rookie years. There is not only Bowers and Daniels and Bo Nix, but also Joe Alt and Zach Frazier, offensive linemen, and then the receivers, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, and Ladd McConkey. There are a lot of really good rookie years on offense.
MVP, Allen versus Lamar. Another award where other people have Saquon has a case. Joe Burrow has a case. There are not enough awards to go around this year, right? There just aren't. And then, so it's MVP, and then there's Offensive Player of the Year. And you have stated on this show before, so this is not breaking news, that you believe, from your analytical standpoint, that MVP is going to be a quarterback award because you just can't bring yourself to imagine, or it would have to be something so ridiculously outlying that we can't even conceive of it for MVP taken literally to not be a quarterback. And so therefore you use Offensive Player of the Year oftentimes for other positions. Is that accurate?
Yes. What I don't believe in is the idea that Offensive Player of the Year is the second best quarterback.
Gotcha.
Right? Like, if you are the Offensive Player of the Year and you are a quarterback, then you are the MVP. Like, that's how that, either you use it as a non-quarterback award or you give it to the same guy you give MVP to. But the idea that that's the special second best quarterback award doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, you'll forgive my parenthetical asides here. That feels a little Saquon-y then from you on Offensive Player of the Year. You don't have
I
to
had count. A really hard time with Offensive Player of the Year. There are a number of good candidates.
Wow, you had a hard time. Okay, so MVP, getting back to that. And I'm not asking you to tell us who, but give us your thumbnail on how you might evaluate between these two awesome candidates.
Last year, everybody thought that the storyline was that it was Lamar Jackson, and yet all the advanced metrics said it should be Josh Allen. This year, the advanced metrics do not all agree with each other. And the storyline is not as much of a train as a runaway train as it was a few weeks ago either. Right? I think Lamar Jackson has caught up with Josh Allen in the storyline. And I think in the advanced metrics, they're much closer to each other than Jackson was to Allen last year. So it's a real toss-up.
I assume you think this will be the tightest of all the awards, MVP? Just guessing.
No, Coach of the Year, because
no
one knows who to be. There's like 12 guys who honestly have good cases.
So I'll ask it this way. How many votes do you think the winner of Coach of the Year will end up with because it's so splintered?
25.
That much. Okay.
Maybe. But still, the number you could get 25 and then get a few third place votes and lose to a guy who gets more second place votes. I don't know.
How many different Coach of the Year candidates are you choosing from?
Like a dozen.
Really? That many? Really? Wow.
The three AFC West guys, three NFC North guys, Tomlin, John Harbaugh. Who else out there? McVay?
Quinn.
I mean, it's a lot. I missed a couple, I'm sure. Sirianni, I guess. There's just a lot of guys who've done good jobs this year.
And both of the defensive ones, Player of the Year and Rookie of the Year, I mean, those are going to be really, those might be surprising too to people, I would imagine.
Yeah, they're going to be tight races. And what makes them interesting is the difficulty sometimes of comparing a cornerback to an edge rusher.
And cornerbacks don't typically win this. That's the thing.
Especially defensive player of the year. Stephon Gilmore, I think, was the last person, last cornerback to win it in 2019.
That's right. Okay. And just for administrative clarity here. Is it five? Did you have to go five deep on all of these? Because
we went five deep on all the awards this year. Yeah, we voted for five for all the awards.
So you had to come up with like number five for comeback player of the year. How ridiculous was that?
Not as ridiculous as you'd think. Okay. You kind of know who's out there.
Were you like Terry McLaurin had that toe last year? I got to go with him for five.
It starts. It cuts down when you follow the guidelines. You know?
Yes, that's true. Okay. And as we go here, last thing, let's go back to Offensive Rookie of the Year for a second. You really think that's going to be like super duper close? Do you?
No, I honestly don't, but okay. I'll tell you my thought process was that it was close. In other words, in my mind, it's close, but I do think that it's not going to end up close.
Aaron Schatz at A Schatz NFL, FTN Sports is where you can find all of his stuff. Aaron, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy the postseason if we don't chat.
All right. Thanks, man.
My man, Aaron Schatz, everybody, from FTN Sports, FTNFantasy.com. We'll come back. Kelly on golf next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up top of the hour after a numbers game, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. Stormy back in studio. She back yesterday? No.
No, JVT was in here.
Stormy's back in studio from her trip to the Rose Bowl and then to the FCS Championship. She's back with Mike Somich, Samo Bombing, from noon to 2 Eastern right here on the network. Then Prop Points with John Hansen from 2 to 3. And then Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4 Eastern right here at VSiN, the sports betting network. We get tweets of beating the book. Torch D, I'm with you, Gil. Sprinkling some bets on the Rams to win the Super Bowl. Sean McVay's about to be the sneaky, freaky brother. Sneaking in from the rear, though he said something else in his tweet, which I will not read. Vegas DP, it's going to be that time of year, a man's guide to Sin City. Woohoo, he says. Yes. So in between the AFC and NFC Championship week and the Super Bowl week, on the Beating the Book podcast, we do a man's guide to Sin City. I think this will be our 14th annual. You believe I've been doing a podcast for 14 years?
Yeah, that's wild.
Bro. So yes, we're looking forward to that. Meltzer like Seltzer will be on, and maybe Fezzik. If Fezzik wants on, we'll get Fezzik on.
Fezzik, that's a good call.
Well, he was on last year because Fezzik is great at telling you how to chintz the casinos out of stuff.
And I know I make fun of this, but yeah. Legitimately, the little breakfast / what I like to joke about, the downtown walking tour by Steve Fezzik, was an excellent tour.
It was. We had fun.
Learned a lot on that day.
This whole gambling thing doesn't work out for Fezzik. Maybe that's his next job.
By the way, I know we had Mike on yesterday. After talking a little bit with our friend Matt Brown last night, I have a feeling when they were on the air Sunday night, for Ready, Set, Bet, it was quite the sweat behind the scenes for their Lions tickets that they had. You know, like we talk all the time about having to do those live bet shows, and you don't know how much money people got going
that's
on.
Right.
Oh, boy, I think there was a lot going on that game that night.
And finally, Doug Wedge. Wait, Aaron Schatz is from Worcester? We got to meet up for a Coney Island dog or a Woo Sox game or something. Worcester, by the way, when I went to school in Boston, it's spelled, this is how they pronounce
it. Worcester, right?
It's spelled
Worcester?
Worcester. So I show up at school in Boston, I'm like, Worcester? They're like, it's Worcester.
What's funny is I only know how to spell and pronounce that specific one, Gil, because it's the most ridiculous example, right?
That's
like,
the
it's the one
ridiculous.
That everybody always goes to.
Worcester, Leachman, Nashua. They thought I had the accent.
See, that's where you could ask me about some of those other towns. I would have no idea how to spell them.
Which brings us to our G-Bank best bets of the day, courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSIN. Let's start with mine. I'm on the Rams plus the 3 on the Vikings. I also sprinkled on the money line, which didn't get on the list here, on the Rams against the Vikings as well. I believe it was plus 118, something like that. And then my futures bets that I made for the Australian Open. Brisbane last week, Adelaide this week, Melbourne next week.
Adelaide.
Iga Swiatek plus 550 was the number I got. You can get plus 650 at FanDuel. Carolina Muhova 25-1. Mira Andreeva 25-1. And then I did sprinkle a little, but with a caveat on the men's side. Like, do I expect these to get there? I don't, but the value is value. And so my DNA does not allow me to not bet it to some degree. Alex de Minaur 50-1. Grigor Dimitrov at 65-1. Kaleb Bidelon, what do you have?
Am I crazy, or is that a little one or two more kind of just outright bets than you usually have?
It is indeed.
Okay.
I only do what the numbers say to do.
No, I got it. I was just, you're usually like 1, 2, 3, something like that, right?
Yep.
Okay. Spurs tonight for me in the NBA, catching 5.5 against the Milwaukee Bucks.
I'm usually 1.
That, I was going to say, yeah.
And I never do more.
And it's called Iga Swiatek. Yeah,
it is called that.
That's the one. That's
called that.
Spurs catching 5.5 against the Bucks tonight. Spurs been playing great basketball recently. Bucks on a little bit of a slide. But, man, that's going to be a great game with you. All these stars getting up to play Wemby and Giannis going at it tonight. Going to be a heck of a game. NFL for me then this weekend. Chargers, Texans, under 44. Bills laying 7.5. Bills, Eagles, moneyline parlay. And Ravens, Eagles, moneyline parlay.
All right. And then we had some bets from Jonathan Von Tobel. He's on Penn State against Notre Dame, the college football semis. Tomorrow night, that's all. It's all we got to wait. What do you do when there's no football on TV at night? It's very, we're gonna talk to your girlfriend.
I've had to keep reminding myself though, this game start tomorrow. It's like a little weird.
Yeah. He's also on the Eagles plus the laying the points against the Packers. He's on the Texans plus the points against the Los Angeles Chargers. I almost said San Diego. Jim Root, 3 college basketball plays. He's on the Sooners laying 3 against Texas A&M. Good game tonight. In Norman, George Mason laying 12 against the Richmond Spiders, and then Indiana and USC, he's on the over tonight, 149.5. And did Jason Weingarten have a player too? Yes,
he did.
He is on the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. He's Oppo Von Tobel on this one. He's on Notre Dame against Penn State tomorrow night, and he is on the Packers plus the points versus the Eagles. He was concerned about the status of Jalen Hurts, not whether or not he would play necessarily, but even if he does play, Jason was saying, yeah, I don't know what condition he's going to be in. So he's on the Packers. GBank, the official bank of VSiN, with all of our plays daily on this show and every show on the network. VSiN recommends every bettor make the GBank Visa Signature Card part of their betting toolbox. Save up to 3-5% on cash advance fees, earn cashback rewards on eligible betting transactions. And now, for a limited time, you'll get a $250 bonus when you open your account and spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Take advantage of the $250 bonus for a limited time from our friends at GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. did get a tweet from Nevada Azer who said five deep on coach of the year or five deep on comeback player of the year. Yikes. Buckle up. That was a change because they used to do five deep on MVP and then three on every other category.
This was a very underreported change.
I agree.
Because Drew brought this up yesterday and I started trying to double check it and couldn't find anything. But yeah, like, what do you put in fifth for comeback players?
That's why I made the Terry McLaurin joke. I'm like, well, Terry McLaurin's toe, that kind of hampered him last year. And then, you know, he wasn't introduced to Jaden Daniels to week three. I mean, that's a big, you know, you could talk yourself into lots of things when you get to 4 and 5.
Yeah. Would you rather see them just add most improve or get rid of comeback?
It's a great
question.
They
need to do one or the other. I don't know if I care which one it is.
I mean, comeback then becomes very defined.
Very defined. Injury, you're coming back from an injury.
Yes.
But it's the NFL. People are injured every single year. It's not like you're ever going to have a lack of people to choose from.
It sounded to me from Aaron that they're just going to add it.
No, I know, but...
Yeah. So you won't have to be outraged then by misinterpreting the misinterpretations
there,
that people
there's,
have.
There, I think for people that are thinking like me with comeback player of the year that are voters, I would think are furious about some of this stuff.
Yeah, I agree with JVT, though. I don't think you're going to be upset in the end. I think it's going to be Burrow. I have a feeling for comeback player of the year. And I think that Darnold performance against the Lions, as ridiculous as it is that one performance could sway people. You know how human beings are. Recency bias. I think you'll be okay now.
See, like that's the funniest part to me because when I said on Monday, I stand by it. It shouldn't matter.
It
shouldn't even matter.
Shouldn't matter. And by the way,
it probably will.
It should really not matter for Kevin O'Connor, which I don't think it will matter for
O'Connell. Yeah, O'Connell.
Yeah, I say O'Connor. Yeah, pardon. Kevin O'Connor, I think, was in Entourage. Did I get that wrong?
Okay. That kid's name?
Kevin O'Connell.
I knew where Tatum was going to chime in. Yes.
Kevin O'Connell. Okay, there you go. What did I say? Kevin O'Connor?
Kevin O'Connor?
I don't know. I'm Aiden O'Connell, what did I say? I got to do tennis earlier, so only fair if Kelly does some golf. Sony Open, what do you got?
Yeah, let's go country clubbing. All right, we're switching over to Oahu this week. Remember, these two tournaments that you get in Hawaii, Century and the Sony Open, completely different. If you bet golf, yes, you know that. If you haven't bet a ton of golf or you're just starting to bet golf, it is very, very important to know that. Completely different courses, completely different fields, a bunch of champions playing in that one last week in Maui. At Wailea this week, you're going to have your first full field event, 144 players set to tee off. Now, last week, super wide fairways, huge greens. You got tight line, tree line fairways. A lot of this is inland. You're not going to get as much effect from the ocean. Wind is still important because we're still playing on a Hawaiian island, so you still get winds that will be consistent. Monitor that right now. Wind doesn't look like it's going to be too bad Thursday, Friday. Could get ugly over the weekend, though. So if you are handicapping this at home, approach statistics, always important in golf, important this week. Off the tee, accuracy more of a premium this week than distance, with these being a little bit tighter lined fairways. But we got a pretty good field actually at this tournament this year, Gil. You don't usually get a lot of the guys come over from the Century, and then also some of the guys just show up for the Sony. But Hideki at the top of the odds board, 9-1. Corey Connors, 14-1. Jump down to 20-1 then with Tom Kim. Russell Henley, Keegan Bradley there at 25-1. Everybody else 28-1 or longer right now at DraftKings. I really thought I was going to be on Keegan, Gil, but just the numbers don't point that way for me. So starting with Tom Kim, 20-1, little up and down finish to his season last year. Had a lot of strong second place finishes, but also a couple missed cuts. Just 4 outright bets for me this week. These guys will go low with some wonky conditions, possibly with wind. I think I'm just focusing on outrights, not playing any placement markets or anything like that. So Tom Kim, last 36 rounds, 6 on approach, 8th in driving accuracy. That will be big this week. And then I'm taking a few swings on upside here. Couple Florida State boys. Luke Clanton, who's still not a pro yet, so be careful if you're one and done. Do not use him. Luke Clanton and Daniel Berger for me. And then Austin Eckroat also on the outright call.
Leaflet. Kevin Connolly, the name of E. His real name in Entourage, Kevin Connolly.
There you go.
For those scoring at home. The Megapod will be live on Twitter in a half hour, 35 minutes from now. Money Moves, next right here. Story Bonatoni, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.